Welcome to the 259th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. I hope this finds all of you well. I hope you checked out the Skid Row Marathon. Didn't get a lot of feedback. I'm not sure exactly why. It's about a judge that gives back to his community by running with people that live in a homeless shelter. And when I said people, I meant all kinds of people. Women, men, Hispanic, black, white, trying to get sober, trying to get clean, out running. They raised money so they could go on an international marathon together. By going on an international marathon, you know, you're in someplace foreign, so people stick together. It builds cohesiveness and unity. It's a story of love and camaraderie and respect for human beings, what we all need more of. And I can't believe that this movie didn't jump off the charts. I can't believe their website doesn't jump off the charts. It just shows me that people like to hear a lot of negative a lot of the times, and positive stories just get back burner, and it's really, really sad. But I'm going to keep positive for this podcast, and because of that marathon and how it marathon movie and how it impacted me, I've actually decided to start a running group. I originally started running to raise money for the American Diabetes Association so they could find a cure, and it's kind of funny because I found a cure. It's just about changing your nutrition. But they're still raising money out there, and I decided instead of raising money, I'm going to run with my fellow Port Charlotte people. So whether you're a member of the practice or you're not a member of the practice, you can meet me at 6 a.m. on Edgewater. And there's a boat ramp in Port Charlotte. If you live in that area, you're going to know where it is. And we're going to meet and we're going to run together. We're going to all run out, turn around, come back. No person left behind. It's a way for people to get started running, improve their walking, have a sense of commitment to other people, camaraderie. And are we going to wear masks? Hell no, we're not going to wear masks because we're outside and you're not going to get infected. If people are going to be sick running, no. You know, we're going to be running on the streets. You're not going to be running on top of each other, but we're going to be running out in the fresh air, and the sun's going to come up. Florida, you know, we're in the news because we've started to loosen up, and it's like, oh, the cases are going up, but our hospitalizations aren't going up and our death rate's not going up. So that's all good news. And all the places that have opened up, you know, some have gone up a little bit, some have gone down, but it hasn't made a whole lot of difference, right or wrong. And the places that were never closed, their rates, some have gone up, some have gone down. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, you know, as far as all that goes. So, you know, I received an email. Somebody said I should get an expert epidemiologist on the podcast so they can tell me about all the numbers and set me straight. Actually look the person up, and you know, it's anybody's guess because it's all about the data that's being reported. It's cloudy. It's full of errors. You can do numbers any way you want to do. And even he said that wearing a mask doesn't really protect you much, because the reality of it is if you want to get this, then you need to get in the face of somebody that has it. And there was a recent study out of China that looked at 455 people that were exposed to that one person, and they tracked 455 people, whether they were patients, family members, healthcare workers, and not one of them got the virus. And the person was asymptomatic. So if you're asymptomatic when you're around, if somebody's asymptomatic, the chance of you getting this virus are pretty low. That's just it. You know, you don't have, nobody's wearing it on their forehead that says I have it or I don't have it. People go out all the time with coughs and colds and fevers and don't want to admit they're really getting sick. And those are the people that you might get this virus from if you're vulnerable and you're around them for about 20 minutes. But passing somebody on the street, you're not going to get COVID. There's risk to living, and we all have to take that. When I was doing heart catheterizations on a regular basis before I became plant-based and people didn't get chest pain anymore and I don't have to do them, I would go and get consent for the procedure, and I would tell the patient, which was true, there is a 1% chance that you could have a stroke, heart attack, or die during this procedure, because I am taking a catheter and I am putting it in your artery up to the heart and injecting dye down the coronary arteries, and bad things can happen. And if you do enough of those, bad things do happen. I was lucky nobody ever died under my watch, but, you know, 1% of the time, bad things do happen. So, you know, there is a risk versus benefit, and we have to take that. You know, we have to decide what is in our best interest. You know, people say that this is going to come out, and this is going to, the COVID virus is going to continue, and it's going to make a resurgence, and you know, that's armchair quarterbacking at this point. Nobody knows. We know that SARS, which was much more deadly than COVID-19, went away despite our failed attempts at making a vaccine. The vaccine was scrapped. Multiple tries at making a vaccine, some resulted in antibody production by the host, which were mainly animals, mice, and ferrets. But they failed to not get sick from the virus, so it wasn't a complete immunity. They also developed autoimmune diseases. They developed you know, other side effects from the vaccine, and they could never get one that actually worked well enough to go to human trials. So there you have it. They were allowed to do it on animals at that time. So we're saying, okay, we're going to put 150,000 people, and we're going to let them volunteers get inject it with a vaccine that we're not sure how exactly it's going to work. Just based on this SARS model, you might get immunity and you might not. You might get autoimmune disease, you might not, you might get a side effect. And they're going to be a consent form that's going to tell these people that you have a such and such percent risk of these bad things happen. Do you want to proceed? And there are going to be brave individuals that say, I'm willing to proceed. But again, there's risk in everything that you do. When it comes to, am I putting somebody else at risk when I don't wear a mask into my local grocery store? No, I'm not going to go into my local grocery store ill. I don't go into my, I don't consider my exposure high. We had nutrition class today in my office. There were 12 people today in class, and they were so happy to be back at nutrition class, because we are actually reversing the very diseases that make people more vulnerable to infectious diseases. Nobody talks about that part. Nobody talks about the need to reverse coronary artery disease, diabetes, obesity, hypertension, all those things that make people more vulnerable to viruses and death by any kind of infectious agent. So that's what we were doing today. We were discussing the benefits of plant-based nutrition and the benefits of the food that we ate. And we talked about things like polyphenols and the flavonoid fecetin. Fecetin is found in strawberries and apples and persimmons, onions and cucumbers. And it has multiple benefits. It will decrease the oxidation of LDL. And when LDL is oxidized, that's when it gets under the endothelial cell and causes a problem. There are also benefits, anti-cancer benefits, by decreasing blood vessel growth into cancer cells and decreasing cancer cell multiplication. And this has been shown in cell cultures and in animal models involving colon cancer, prostate cancer, pancreatic cancer, and melanoma. There have been neuroprotective effects as far as memory degeneration or neurocell transmission decrease. There's some antidepressant effects. So, you know, one good thing you can do right now, it's strawberry season. Go out and get some organic strawberries and have a big bowl of them every evening. Have a bowl of them on your oatmeal or chia seed. By doing the omega-3s and the fruit, you can decrease your Lp(a) a little bit and improve your cardiac function. They also scavenge free radical. And again, this oxidation process, when we get excess of free radicals from metabolic excess and the breakdown of things, that's when DNA damage starts to occur, as well as metabolic derangements start to occur and inflammation starts to occur. So just adding simple things like strawberries, you know, that's what's in season now. If you can get local apples, they're not really in season, but they're around. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Persimmons, you know, are my favorite, one of my favorite fruits. They're more of a fall fruit, but again, that orange skin, very, very good for you. Cucumbers are in abundance now in people's gardens. You know, we used to do a salad when I was growing up, cucumbers and sour cream and onions, which is, again, full of these fascitins. But now, instead of doing sour cream, I would do plant milk yogurt with lemon juice. Again, lemon juice, and if you do a little bit of rind, anti-cancer benefits, vitamin C. If you want to decrease your viral risk, then you can do more vitamin C. So this is another great way, adding vitamin C to your regimen. Strawberries have vitamin C as well. So that's the best part about eating whole foods and whole fruits, is that you get a lot of nutrients, not just flavonoids, but you get other vitamins and minerals, as well as fiber all together, that helps, you know, helps you help yourself, as opposed to just waiting for somebody to come in and save the day with some virus vaccine that will have potential side effects. And unless you're allergic to strawberries, there aren't very many side effects to strawberries. So it's a great way to go and improve your own immunity. You know, getting your BMI down is a great way to decrease your overall inflammatory state. And you can do that by exercising, joining a running group such as mine if you're in town, or virtually joining my running group on Facebook, the Plant-Based Striders. You can follow along with us and run with us virtually if you'd like to. You know, we who knows what we'll do with that, and I hope that it grows. We have an online membership that we do, that you have access to our private Facebook group and our private member-only page, so that you can interact with us through that. You can join our nutrition class via Zoom. We're doing two of them now on Zoom for people that can't get to the class or don't live in town. So it makes it gives you a community. I think that's the one of the biggest things that have happened over the last several months, that people have become more and more polarized, more and more isolated. My heart breaks most for our elderly residents. You know, in my town, we have a lot of nursing homes. They have been in solitary confinement. They're in little rooms. They don't get to interact with the other residents. They are given meals that tend to be non-specific. So I have people in heart failure because they're getting more salt, more comfort food. They're getting less exercise. Their legs are down, so they're getting more peripheral edema. Their mentation is declining. They're stressed because they're missing birthdays and family get-togethers. I mean, this is a real side effect of, you know, yes, we're trying to protect them, but from what? You know, many of these people may have served in wars and been through all kinds of trauma, depression, and all kinds of things, only to spend the last few days of their life in isolation, and it's really sad. We know that, you know, the blue zones, people need a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging, a sense of community. That's why we do our nutrition class. That's why we, you know, have continued to do it via Zoom, but now we're doing it in person, and it's so much better. People are so happy today to actually get to see each other. They hadn't seen each other for months, and to interact and have a meal together. We had a curry that I got the recipe from the Happy Pair, which I hope to have those two great guys from Ireland on the podcast someday. But they did a curry with butter beans and chickpeas, tomatoes, garam masala, curry powder, leeks, mushrooms. It was delicious. We did it over brown rice. Again, tomatoes, lycopene, decreased prostate cancer, vitamin C all over the place. Leeks are in the onion family. Also possess a lot of antiviral, antibacterial compounds. And of course, we had lots of garlic in that recipe that also has a lot of healing properties. So you can do so much with food. And then you can do so much with food when you interact with people and have a sense of community, that I can't believe that the positivity of that does not trump some virus that is getting in the road. And I got to tell you that the people that were at nutrition class today would take the risk in a heartbeat of people that they've all been quarantined and self-isolating. But that, you know, it's time that people get out. They need that social interaction. They need that sense of belonging. And I think a lot of people have fallen off the plant-based wagon, so to speak, because they haven't had that sense of belonging, and it's a hard road to handle if 96% of the world doesn't eat this way, and the 4% are scattered out and they can't get together. and that you have no sense of community, no sense of support. So it's really, really difficult, you know, to be isolated, and it does take its toll on people. There was a study in the American Heart Association this month that looked at people with doctor-diagnosed angina, meaning chest pain that typically comes on with exertion, goes away with rest. It can progress to come on at rest or waking you from sleep if it becomes unstable. But typically we describe stable angina as a discomfort in the chest or a chest tightness that comes about with movement. Typically it's in the center of the chest or in the epigastric, xiphoid region, and then resolves when people stop. Sometimes it's a jaw discomfort, sometimes it's a neck tightness, sometimes it can be a shoulder tightness, but it usually comes with exertion and goes away. Usually doesn't last more than 5 or 10 minutes and then goes away. That's typical, what we would call typical angina. You can diagnose it using a stress test to confirm the diagnosis and see changes in the electrocardiogram. So these people had a diagnosis of angina, and they looked at how many people were actually taking their prescribed medications. And the standard medical treatment for angina is a statin to lower the cholesterol, try to decrease the plaque in the artery, taking an anticoagulant such as aspirin or Plavix to decrease platelet clotting, and a beta blocker to decrease the sympathetic tone or the response of the heart to adrenaline. So slowing the heart rate to ease the work of the heart. Those are the standard three therapies deemed most beneficial for medical treatment of stable angina. When the ischemic trial was done last year, when they compared those people on those compliant medical therapy of those three drugs versus stents, there was no change in the cardiovascular endpoints of cardiac death or mortality. So this particular study looked at 5.5 million U.S. adults, 40 years and over, from the Haynes study that were diagnosed with angina. And again, 660,000 people die of coronary arteries each year, and nobody gets too outraged, which is irritating to me. But anyway, 61.7% were on beta blockers, 66.8% were on statins, 54% were on antiplatelets, but only 32% were taking all three. And the commentators said, you know, we're not doing a very good job of educating people because they're not taking their medications. If the three therapies are supposed to be equal to putting stents in or, you know, no worse, then, you know, we're not doing a very good job if only 33% of people are taking their medications. And we know in all these studies, events continue to happen. It was only Dr. Esselstyn's study where he continued to call and educate people. Did he not have events with plant-based nutrition? And so, again, they preached education, 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 but how does one in a traditional medical practice that sees 30 patients in 8 hours educate people on the benefits of taking their medications or plant-based nutrition? And now, because of restrictions and offices and doctor's office, there's patients are scattered out. So, again, we're not treating one of the leading cause of death in this country is cardiovascular disease, and now we're going to treat it even less because people don't go in for their stress test or people don't seek medical help because they're afraid to go to a doctor's office or they can't get an appointment. But there are things that people can do. They can, again, adopt a whole food, plant-based diet. And that's why we do the nutrition class in our office, so that we can interact with people and show them how to prepare dishes that tastes good. I do the cooking in the office. I do the cooking. My nurse does the shopping. My mother helps in the class. We demonstrate that as a practice, this is the way in a family. This is the way we eat. Every recipe in our cookbook, my daughter and I and my mother designed and did the nutrition facts on. We make it and we eat it. It wasn't, you know, shelled out to some chef to make recipes for our book. It was all ours. And we teach people that you can do it. You can get meals on the table in 30 minutes or less that taste good, that look good, that nourish the whole family. We show them the nutritional benefits on you know, that yes, they do get their macronutrients. If you eat an adequate amount of calories, you are going to get an adequate amount of protein. If you have color on your plate, you are going to get the phytonutrients and antioxidants that you need. Again, you know, we stress the to eat fruit, to eat local. It's mango season. It's my favorite time of the year here in Florida. And mangoes have a tremendous amount of vitamin C and beta carotene and fiber. It's a great fruit. Blueberries just came and went through. Cherries are in season throughout the northern hemisphere. So make sure you're eating your fruit every day. People, you know, are so afraid of getting fruit in that's what's going to cause their problem. And it couldn't be further from the truth. You want to get that in. So it's all about education, whether, you know, you can't get somebody to become plant-based and they have to take their medications. They need to be educated. People need to be educated what the signs and symptoms are. Unfortunately, in this era of internet, you know, everybody can put up anything, and data is very confusing, and people are self-proclaimed experts. And we believe all these crazy things that we should be taking this or that or supplements. Somebody came in, you know, with $400 of supplements and almond flour, you know, buying and thinking that almond flour would be better than regular flour. And it's like, so what's wrong with almond flour? Well, it's made from almonds. You know, Dr. Greger says you could have 6 almonds a day, but how many almonds do you think is in a cup of almond flour? It's 9 calories per gram, fat gram. It's 85% fat. It's going to be horrible for somebody's cholesterol. Yeah, you can take those plant fats and turn them into cholesterol. And frankly, Dr. Esselstyn and I do not recommend people eat almonds. There are benefits and there are risks, but when people have cardiovascular disease and high cholesterol, a lot of times they can't tolerate any nuts. Because it does drive their cholesterol and it does drive inflammation because there are more omega-6s than omega-3s. So, you know, we have to individualize things. I was really shocked to find out that there are services that people pay to find them podcasts. So, you know, you pay a service and they'll find you a podcast to be on so you can tout your expertise. So they're actually paying to be on somebody else's podcast. I do my own podcast. I do my own research. I do my own editing. As many of you complain about, sometimes the volume is not so great. Sometimes the dog barks in the background, but I do it on my own time in the evening without any sponsors, without anybody telling me what to talk about, without anybody paying me to have a certain a guest on, without me paying for any guests to speak, because I believe if somebody has knowledge and they want to share it, they should share it with people, their knowledge as a service to humanity. So, you know, that's how we run here. And but you know, it's an educational experience in our class, on our level one class. People are just learning about, you know, simple things. You know, what has dairy in it? What doesn't have dairy in it? How does dairy affect, you know, people lose sight of the fact that a cow has to be pregnant to produce milk, and there's a high estrogen load that drives hormone-driven cancers. The protein in the milk, the casein protein, drives inflammation, drives cell division. So people are just learning that in our nutrition classes, and it drives home why they're doing something. What, you know, the science behind a food makes them more likely to adopt or make changes. But I got to tell you, if somebody says it's easy, it's not. You know, we're going on the third year of having a practice completely dedicated to educating people about plant-based nutrition and movement. And, you know, we still have a lot of people that struggle. They struggle every day. They have struggle with weight loss. They struggle with cholesterol. They struggle with their exercise, staying true to their goals. And, you know, I guess it's human, the human spirit, or the fate of humans is that we like to ignore a lot of things. We report the good and leave out the bad. We blame things that we don't like, and we protect things that we do. I shared Judge Mitchell's frustration. He talked about when the people that's part of the running group relapse back into their addictions right before they're getting ready to go on a trip and they can't do the marathon tour. How frustrating it is and how it makes him sad because of the effort that he's put and the fellow runners have put into helping people. And, you know, we have people that are almost off of their medications and doing well, and something happens, and they go back to their old ways. They develop the, oh, what the heck type of mental attitude, and they slip, whether it's, you know, they think they've got it, and then they slip, and they don't want to talk about it, and next thing you know, they need more insulin, their weight has gone up, and they're back into a lot of old habits. And what do? You know, it's not that they don't understand the science behind plant-based nutrition. It's not going to help if I have more experts come in and talk to them about how great plant-based nutrition is. They know that. They just can't seem to keep both feet in the plant-based nutrition camp. That's why it's so important for us to, you know, have face-to-face contact and have a personal interaction with people so that we can support them day in and day out. It is frustrating, you know, why do people, you know, and sometimes they eventually admit it, sometimes they don't right up front. They blame, you know, they blame family, they blame friends, they blame time, they just make excuses. But it comes down to the same reason for everybody. They want to fit in with the masses. They want to do what everybody else does. They want the easy way out. I mean, that's the human spirit. We like for things to be easy. No matter how much we think, you know, we don't want to do things the easy way. We try to do the easy things. We try to, you know, go out with our friends and eat the junk food and then rein it in. We have people all the time that are trying to, you know, and it's popularized. People talk about intermittent fasting. Well, it's intermittent overeating is basically what it boils down to in most of those instances. It's great if you can decrease your calories and intermittently fast, but most people don't do that. They intermittently overeat, and so it becomes a way to overindulge and then try to, you know, make up for what you did. And I don't see that working very often. There's a large pool of sick people. There's a large portion of society that has lifestyle diseases, hypertension, diabetes, high cholesterol, coronary heart disease, and cancer. It's a big pool. It's a big, giant group to be a part of. And it's hard to be an outlier. It's hard to step away from it and say, I want to dial it back and I want to do the hard things that I need to do to change things. But it comes down for it. Get down to it. If you want it, you have to work for it. You know, I've talked about David Goggins, the Navy SEAL that was rejected multiple times. You know, you can look at all kinds of people. You know, we watched the documentary on Michael Jordan. He was so focused on basketball, you know, and becoming the number one player and the work that he put in it. Tiger Woods, how much work that he put into his golf swing when everybody else was doing everything else, he was golfing. Martina Navratilova, same thing. I saw an interview with Nadia Comaneci. Back in the 70s, she was a gymnast, won the Olympic gold medal. These people were very focused. Other people were doing things. They were focused on the task at hand. And, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of people have disabilities over time. There's lots of people with dyslexia, Charles Schwab, Richard Bronson, you know, they're people that took their dyslexia and worked very hard and despite it all, achieved great things by being very focused and not being afraid to be an outlier. One way to look about things is to protect the asset. You know, you've seen shows and people talk about essentialism, but, you know, you are your biggest asset. Your health is your biggest asset. You can't help other people. You can't do things to make the world a better place unless you protect yourself, the asset, and be healthy. And you really can't depend on other people to do it for you. You know, whether it's get yourself equipped and get your inflammation in check so that you can have the best chance against viral infections that come your way or that you can reverse lifestyle diseases. You have to think about protecting the asset. So when you go out with people, when you're around others that aren't interested in protecting assets, you got to say, hey, I have to protect the asset. I have to eat what I know that will serve me. You know, peanut butter snacks is like heart attack in a jar for my cardiac patients. Eating a day full of bad food has had caused some of my patients to have arrhythmias and SVT. Their blood pressure goes up. They're, you know, with the salt load that they get into. You know, we talked about doing sourdough bread, and you have to have a starter, and you've got to feed that starter. It's like a little animal, and the more starter you have, the more it needs and the more it wants. And that is not unlike our drive. The more of these, you know, little treats that you want, the more that you need. It's one Oreo, then it's two, then it's a sleeve. So you can't start things. You have to have, you know, you have to make a decision that you're going to protect the asset from those things that don't serve you well. And eliminate activities that are not in your best alliance. So it may come down to the point where you can't travel with certain people if they won't, you know, if they don't, aren't willing to compromise with, you know, the restaurants that you choose or the foods that you need, you may not be able to associate with those people. It's not in your best interest to protect the asset. And it may help them see that, you know, that's what you're about. And it may give them courage to say, hey, I want to take care of myself as well. But if you keep going back to, okay, whatever the crowd does, you know, the crowd, the majority wants just to stay back and do the same old thing and not change. So, you know, you have to again, keep it right up front. You want to save, you know, save the asset. If your spouse makes food that's not in agreement with what you want, it's, you know, high salt, high fat, high calorie, it's not what you need, you have to say, I have to protect the asset. I can't eat it. Once you do that one time, then it'll be easier the next time, because then people will actually start to change. But if somebody makes you something and you keep eating it, You're the person. You are in charge of protecting the asset. You are in charge of your own destiny, and you have to decide what's really right for you. I also think people make it way too complicated. You know, we stress eating things for dinner like a sweet potato, beans, and greens. You know, a white potato with sauerkraut, and you know that's a fermented cabbage with a little bit of mustard. That's a great start, you know. Maybe have another vegetable, zucchini or eggplant, or, you know, and some beans. Keep the beans simple. Don't smash them all the time. Don't refry them. Eat the whole bean. Season them differently. You know, you might want to make them a little bit more on the barbecued side with smoked paprika. You might want to make them more on the Middle Eastern side with some cumin and turmeric. You can, you know, more garlic and onion, or, you know, with leeks, or but keep it simple. We made a curry sauce today, you know, with tomatoes, and we used a little shelved coconut milk, so it's not the full fat coconut milk. It's much lighter. You can use almond milk with some coconut extract. You can use coconut flakes to just get that coconutty flavor for the curry. But you don't have to make things really heavy and rich. Keep it really, really simple. But when you mess up, you got to admit it. You have to admit that you had a slip. It's not what you want. And I think it's a good idea to write it down and say, okay, so this is where I go wrong, and redirect. You know, a lot of people say that ultra runners and endurance athletes are running away from a problem, or they're running away from an addiction, or they use it for to keep from not doing other things. And maybe that's true in a lot of cases, but there's a lot more benefits. You know, you substitute one addiction for another to some degree, but you're doing something that gives you much, much more benefit and puts you in a positive light. Typically, if you went from a running group to, or from a drinking group to a running group, then you're choosing a friends that have health much more in focus. They're typically, runners are more positive people to be around. You know, you take that that time that you may be stressed and turn to food, and now you turn it to exercise. That's a really good trade-off. You identify those times where, again, you've tried to fast and then you overate. Well, that doesn't work. Perhaps you can't get out of bed. You need to set a bedtime. Perhaps you can't, you know, you need to put rules around certain foods that you're going to have once in a while, and you have to stick to them. Just like you would train a child to stick to certain rules. We can do it, but it's a matter of choice. It's not because people don't understand after a while. It becomes a matter of choice. And then you support, you know, those that are trying to make the change. So do what you can to protect yourself from infections and other things that may come your way by being the person that's in the best shape that you possibly can be. If you have lifestyle diseases, know that they can be reversed through diet and exercise. Join a program, join a group, join a meetup group, get yourself some accountability, get an accountability partner, get somebody that will support you, because it's not going to be a straight line. No recovery is ever a straight line. There are ups and downs, good days and bad days, whether it's coming back from a musculoskeletal injury or whether it's coming back from a substance abuse addiction, or it's coming back from a surgery. It's every day is not better, and you have to be ready for the bad days and get you in and know that you need to protect the asset and continue to keep your eye on the ball so that you can reverse these diseases. So choosing right, you know, plan your meals ahead, plan your breakfast, plan your lunch, plan your dinner, so that you don't have to worry about varying. And things will be okay. If you're in the area and you want to run with us, you can email me, jamiedelaney@gmail.com. We'd love to have you. We have several in our group that are going to be running Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. I hope to have a group of us going to the Treasure Coast Marathon March 1st in the east coast of Florida. We'll see what happens. My races are going to be our swim run in Austin, Texas area in the fall, followed by the California International Marathon and then the Houston Marathon, and we'll see what happens after that. But certainly the Treasure Coast, we're going to take a group of people. So my training's back on. I'm doing the walk-run Galloway method, working up my mileage, doing my stability exercises, trying to engage my whole back when I run to maintain stability, working up gradually because, again, you know, I lost a lot of fitness just walking for all those couple of months. But things are coming back. I'm looking at the good and enjoying being outside. I even ran into a coyote this week, so we were coming back from walking the dogs. For our first mile, I usually walk Samantha, my dog that has a myelodysplasia. So we do a little short walk with her and came back to my driveway to find two coyotes. Beautiful animals, slightly smaller than my German shepherds. I kind of pounded a stick on my mailbox and they scattered. So I see all kinds of things out at 6 o'clock in the morning, and as well as a beautiful sunrise. So I hope you see the sunrise, and I hope you get out and exercise. Eat right, protect the biggest asset you have, and that is your health. There's nothing better than the original equipment, so keep it and maintain it sparkly and shiny, and it will serve you well. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, you can email me at jamiedelaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. I am happy to entertain any of your questions, and see you next week.